This is Financial Home Stretch with David Pilatus from Senior Advantage. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of Financial Home Stretch is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's Financial Home Stretch.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Financial Home Stretch. I am your host, David Pilatus. Welcome to the program. I have with me my co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, how are we doing?
Well, David, I'm so glad you asked because I am sore. I'm a little stiff sore today because sore and stiff because all weekend, this last weekend, I was doing construction on this patio. It's really for the cats, but it's turning into a major thing. Because I'm like, well, if we want to be in there, I want the floor to be able to hold us. So I just kind of, And I don't do projects like that myself,
right.
Typically.
Well, and you know what? We shouldn't.
You're right. Yeah. Should I be out there doing that?
No. But you know, how many times have we started a project and got into it and said, why am I doing this again? And realized I'm not qualified.
Here's my problem. Here's what makes my situation worse, Dave. It's funny you should mention that because I asked myself that question before I started. Why am I going to do this? And then I am totally unqualified for this. I knew that up front before I even started. But yep. The wife says, you can do it. You can build me a patio for the cats so they can go from the house to outside and have it screened in and, and put a door in there so we can go up in it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds. And I put it off. And then for Mother's Day, she said, all I want for you to do is get that patio started. And then, of course, I start looking into it, and for the floor to support anything, you know, you got to do it right and framing. Sure. And I'm like, I've never done this. I must have watched 20 YouTube videos, talked to like 20 friends and coworkers. My son came over, gave his 2 cents. And then I just sat there and figured it out. I must have measured 50,000 things 5 different ways.
David. Well, what do they say? Measure twice, cut once. I have a different situation in my household. If I say I'm going to start a certain project, my wife will look at me and she'll go, are you sure you're qualified? And I will always say the same thing. Absolutely. This will be a piece of cake. And then that way I can never, ever go back. I have to finish it. I have to,
Yeah, you've committed then.
I
told my wife, ooh, I don't know. And she goes, are you sure? And I go, yeah, okay. I can do that. We can do that. And then the famous last words, I can do that.
Right.
Yeah, I had her out there holding the measuring tape, you know, to measure across and stuff. I go, you're going to have to come out there and help me do stuff. That measuring tape isn't going to stay where I need it. I need exact measurements. But, you know, the old measure twice, cut once, that old chestnut, as I like to call it, because that's a joke. I measured 10 times and cut 3. It's more like measure 10, cut 3. It goes through 3 pieces of wood before you get it right. And, you know, if your board that you're measuring from this board to this board, if they're not exactly, one's curved slightly, well, then the measurement on this end isn't the same as the board that, because there's boards that go all the way across. Well, those measurements change each board because they're not the exact width apart, right? So it's.
Sure.
They should be, but they're not.
So listeners, this is not a YouTube video on how to build.
Sorry, I
say that because we've all experienced things in our lives where it didn't work out the way we had planned. But you know what? I'm going to use that kind of as a segue in today's topic.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the great wealth transfer. So I don't know.
I like the sounds of that, but only if it's transferring to me, Dave.
Well, it's about $84 trillion. That's oof, with a T. That's expected to move between the baby boomers. That's my generation, by the way. I barely made the cutoff. And Gen X and the millennials.
That's me, Gen X. Next,
Gen X. Yeah, you can hardly wait for your percentage of that $84 trillion. It's going to transfer in the next yeah. 2 decades is what's projected.
Oof.
You know, so let's talk about, just for a quick minute, these generations.
Sure.
All right. I think the millennials get kind of a bad rap. But I, you know, they've been beat up pretty good because
they have,
yeah. And you know, and Gen X as well a little bit, because you think about what's happened during their, we'll call it tenure, as they're starting to move into their tenure, where, you know, they've had the 2008 that beat them up pretty good,
yeah.
You know, and Gen X, you and I both experienced that,
yeah.
We had
the 2000, the 2000, 2001. We had the 2008. We had the 2020 with COVID.
Was a big one. That really was. Think about that one for just a quick minute. The COVID, nobody working, you know, millennials. That was a tough process. I think it beat them up a little bit, which is going to make this wealth transfer interesting, because I think it comes down to your view of money quite a bit, you know, is so here you have this transfer of wealth. And according to the statistical information that's out there, I think this was the most recent one was it Forbes or was it it was Kipler, I think, that came out with this information. Kiplinger, which is an interesting article. It says that about 70% of this transfer will be lost in the first generation. So here we are. We're going to transfer from our baby boomers over to our Gen X and our millennials. We're going to lose about 70% of that wealth. And in the generation that follows that would be the third generation, about 90% of that wealth will be lost in that transfer. And I believe that it comes down to, you know, our view of money.
And planning.
And planning, absolutely. Because, you know, we've all seen this. You see individuals who've won lotteries, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Great deal of money.
Or basketball, you get signed to the NBA or the NFL. You see it with athletes a lot, mm-hmm. and with lottery winners. They get big chunks of change.
Yep.
And then poof, it's gone within a few years.
Well, and what it really comes down to is that they've never had that kind of money to manage before.
Yeah.
They've never really been instructed on its value. I mean, because let's go to the generation prior to mine.
The greatest generation.
Yeah. So you've got our baby boomers. You know, my parents came from that generation where they could take a nickel and squeeze a quarter out of it.
Yeah, somehow. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Talk about being, and it was because they were raised by people. Their parents went through the Great Depression. And so their parents had really valued money and didn't want to spend anything because they saw what could happen. And they really instilled that with, especially the older part of the greatest generation. They were savers and they didn't like spending money.
And I've seen that. I've seen that with my clients who come from that early part of the boomer generation or the latter part of the previous generation. I'm not even certain if we've given a name to that generation that came before the boomers.
Greatest generation.
It is the greatest generation. And how did they earn it? How did they earn such a reputation? I mean,
stalwarts. The Depression, the war, they went through it all. I mean, we complain about COVID. I don't know. I think we've all had it pretty easy. I think since the greatest generation, I think they were workers. They built industries. They built the country. They helped take the country through the biggest growing pains, right?
Well, and absolutely. Sacrifice was not something that was foreign to them.
No.
And they accepted it and they took it on. It's the reason that you and I enjoy the freedoms that we do. We owe a lot to that generation. I mean, we probably owe everything to that generation. Yeah.
Actually, there's a generation in between. I guess the greatest generation actually is considered technically 1901 to 1927. And then the silent generation is 28 to 45. But I kind of, a lot of people group some of that early silent generation, like my grandpa Bob, who lived to 101. He was, everybody said he's part of the greatest generation. Technically, he and my parents were part of the silent generation. My parents on the far, the younger end, and my grandpa my grandpa was actually the greatest generation, just barely. And then the baby boomers. So that's kind of how it goes. Greatest, silent, the boomers, Generation X, millennials. And then my son, Generation Z. All my kids are Generation Z, all three of them. So
your generation and mine, you know, we sometimes complain about those millennials, and you know, we'll have plenty to say, I'm sure, about Z as well.
Yeah.
But as I've started to understand those generations, I'm going to cut them some slack.
Yes.
You know, because they have been beat up quite a bit. So here's the question: is how do we prevent losing so much wealth during that transfer? And I believe that
84 trillion, that's double the national debt. That's a lot of money. That's real money even to you, David.
Well, it is. It's a lot of money. Yeah, in fact, it's really kind of unfathomable, you know, to consider that.
People have no idea. You can say 84 trillion to me, and I don't really, the human mind can't wrap its head around that amount.
No, it's an ungodly amount of wealth. But here's the thing. When it comes to this transfer, families, it's not just about planning for this transfer. It is really incorporating into the future generation the value of that asset, or I should say, what's the best word to use? Respect.
Yes.
Respect for the generations previous and the amount of work and sacrifice that went into accumulation. I think that's the biggest problem that we have on this transfer is that the future generations don't understand
the value of money.
They don't.
And what it took to make it. I think you're right. And that is such a great point. And I admit that I'm guilty of that. My parents did not, I will say, love my parents, love their generation. You know, they're on the later end of the boomers. But I'll tell you what, here's the deal. They, or maybe even silent generation, didn't talk a lot about money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't like to, they didn't teach me the value of money. I wish they had. I didn't learn it in school. Schools are so bad. And I've said this on the show before. Schools K through 12, I think at about sixth grade, maybe seventh, required, and it should be prioritized on the same level as math, science, and English, personal finance. Finance should be in there.
Yeah.
And teaching people finance. Had they been doing that the whole time, we wouldn't be in this mess where people have nothing to retire on. Or, you know, I think, you know, my daughter, I've tried to instill it in her, and I made them take, you know, personal finance. People say, well, I had personal finance in school. My kids, most public schools at least, and private schools, I think even it's less, but they had it as an elective. In other words, you didn't have to take it, but you could take it as one of your electives their junior or senior year of high school as an elective one time. One class for a semester. What good does that do anybody?
No, an elective means, you know, hey, you get to choose. But here's the thing.
It's between that and home ec or shop class. It's like, come on.
Well, think about this. I didn't really understand until after I graduated from high school the value of a credit score. Consider that.
Sure. Yeah.
Consider that.
My kids had no concept of a credit.
No, they get into college and they get their student loans and they get a credit card. And the next thing you know, they're in debt up to their ears and they've got, you know, In fact, by the time they get ready to get a job, their credit score is so poor they can't even afford to buy a house.
Right.
Or they can't qualify for a home. These are some of the things that families need to talk about when they're talking about this wealth transfer. So that's, I think, where I would like us to to focus with our families is educating them on the importance of this transfer, minimizing taxes, so educating our heirs, and talk about those things. Now, every family has that one child or two children that, you know, that they're just not going to get it. And sure. and for them, you know, you take steps to make certain that whatever wealth transfers to them stays intact. For example,
a trust that will trust. Dole it out in small amounts or with certain qualifications. If this, then they get this, right?
Sure. Well, if you've got a child, for example, that has a dependency issue, you certainly don't want to make certain want to make certain that you're not going to give them a pile of cash when you leave this world because again, poof, it's gone.
I didn't have a dependency issue, but I'll tell you what, with or without that, and when I was 20, if I had like some of these athletes or something, or these kids that inherit all this money, if somebody had given me any amount, like if somebody had given me $500,000 when I was in my early 20s, I'd probably be dead in a ditch somewhere and the money would be gone within days and they'd just find me on the road. You can't give a 21-year-old a few hundred thousand dollars and expect it to end well. And that's what you see it time and time again with actors and athletes or people who, you know, get wealthy young or quickly, lottery winners at any age. But it's like you said, it's education. And you mentioned family and, you know, you that's a great example. You might have one child who ends up with a chemical dependency, God forbid, or maybe has run into some trouble with the law or has problems with money decisions, or maybe nowadays gambling with all the gambling apps. I mean, that's become a real in 20 and 30 somethings. That's the key age group that is right now. There's so many that are just losing all their money to the gambling apps. But the bottom line, like I have three kids and what I always say, two out of three ain't bad.
No, there you go. That's a good number. Yeah,
that's a good number.
No, and that is something too. I think that we need to understand as parents, especially as we go through this wealth transfer, is that you never stop being a parent.
Right.
Ever. And kids should feel comfortable talking about money.
Yeah.
Whether it's a bad situation for them or the parent, this should be something that conversations can be had over. I mean, it's, in my situation, personally, I have one of my sons who's set up to take over and manage, my wife and I's trust when we leave this world.
Sure.
And the reason is one, he's responsible, he's an accountant. So, I don't know if you know much about accountants,
my daughter is accountant, my middle daughter, and she's, super responsible.
So, sure. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, a cell phone bill.
Sure.
I get his payment every month on the first day. Every single time. The others, not so much. But, it trickles in. It trickles in. So that helps you.
Oh, gee, Dad, I forgot this month. Sorry about that. I'll catch you up later.
But it helps you understand, their mentality and their the value they place on money.
Sure. So which one are you going to put as the executor of your trust?
The one that pays the bill every month on time.
Right. So, that's a no-brainer. But, before we go today, I know there are a three-part plan. I mean, there's multiple aspects to a plan, but you've talked about them in the past. And I think this is the solution is, make sure that you and your kids communicate about your financial plan. Bring them in to meet with Dave Pilatus. I know you communication with the family, you meet with both spouses, you meet with the children, especially the adult children. And then you make sure, I think everybody, if you have, make sure your kids understand the importance of saving for an emergency plan. Yep. You know, don't spend all the money. You can't put it all in your checking account. Put some of the money for future use where it can't be touched for a while, and then put some of it where it is cash, but keep it in, you know, interest bearing account that is accessible and liquid for if the roof goes out or the car breaks down. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's what you want to see too, is that if you're going to provide for this next generation, if it's not, you know, outright cash, if you don't feel like they can manage it, and you want to control some of the way that money is spent, give to your future generation those things that can't be taken from them. And for me, it's education.
Yeah,
it is always about education. If it's and then the next step is probably housing, you know. It's so important that, you know, we provide shelter for ourselves and for our families, and so, you know, that's a key.
It's a big one.
Is making certain that that they use that money wisely, and they use it on something that's not going to depreciate. Because, you know, you and I talk about it. You have an 18-year-old $100,000. How long is it going to last if you have no control over it? About as long as it takes to get from my office to the nearest car dealership. That's typically how long that money lasts. So
right. Yeah.
So here's what I'd suggest. Let's have a conversation. You can reach out to my office. 435 is the number, area code 435-986-9222. Again, that's 435-986-9222. A lot of great information on our website. You can go there, make an appointment. We can sit down and just have a courtesy. There's no cost or obligation, a courtesy conversation about what you'd like to accomplish in this wealth transfer. The website is managedwealthadvantage.com. So it's managedwealthadvantage.com. We would love to hear from you. Tony, you got anything you want to add before we let... Before we go,
boy, I think you nailed it. A great discussion on the great wealth transfer and what you need to be looking at. But if you have kids, educate them on personal finance and the value of money. That's what you started off saying, David. Yeah. And I think that is so important.
Start them young. Start them young. You know, pay them for their labor. There's just so many tools out there now that can teach the value of money to these kids so that they, you know, so that it's not lost in these future generations.
And you know what we made our kids do when either us or and then they got odd jobs. You know, my daughter's got jobs babysitting. My son worked at a local pumpkin patch and then worked here or there, mowing people's lawns, doing different things. We made them put half of everything they earned all the way through high school in their own 529 plans. They had to put half of everything they earned. If they got $1,000 from grandma for Christmas or for their birthday or 500 or 100, whatever year, I'm not trying to, you know, their grandma for a while was generous. That one year she gave them each grandkid like $1,000, which is a lot of money. They had to put half in their college fund. My daughter put it all in. She goes, no, I want to put it all in there.
Sure.
It's like, can you imagine? That's the kid you're going to make the executor of the will.
Yes, put them in charge. Put them in charge.
Immediately. I agree with you, David. Great show today. But once again, people have questions. You need a plan in place. And again, it's like the oxygen mask in the airline. When they always tell you, when the masks drop, as a parent, you put your own on first, then you help the kids. You got to get your own financial ducks in a row. You've got to have a plan, and then you bring in the kids as it goes and make sure you're communicating to them. How can our listeners, one more time before we go, get a hold of you?
So just pick up the phone. Give us a call, 435 area code 986-9222. Go to the website, managedwealthadvantage.com. Again, you can make an appointment there. Lots of information to peruse. I would highly recommend that you spend some time. And I look forward to hearing from you. Again, that's a no obligation, courtesy, no charge consultation. Look forward to hearing from you. Tony, great show. Thanks for your time today. And we will speak next week.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dave. Super Dave Pilatus here on the Financial Home Stretch. That does it for today's episode.
Thank you for joining us for Financial Home Stretch. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact David Pilatus at Senior Advantage at 435-986-9222 or visit ManageWealthAdvantage.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Financial Home Stretch.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.